living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
I'm talking with right now Dr. Edward Ginz. He is the founding director of the Brednick Neuropsychiatric Research Institute. He's board certified in neurology and is an elected member of the American College of Neuropsychopharmacology. Dr. Ginz, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
So I have here was a report, and I can't remember where I pulled this report from, Dr. Ginz, but I'm going to read you the title, and then we'll get into your research. Rare genetic disease protects against bipolar disorder. UMMS researchers uncover genetic pathway that could lead to better treatments. So this was really what I just found this to be incredibly interesting to me. Tell me a little bit about the connection between this rare genetic dwarfism and bipolar disease.
So the roots of our discovery started way back in the 60s, almost five decades ago, when my collaborator, Dr. Janice Eglin, went among the Amish to study their health practices. And what she found among the families was that there was a rare genetic dwarfism called Elvis Van Creveld syndrome. 10 years later, when she began her Amish study of affective disorder, she found that bipolar disorder was prevalent among the same families that had descended from one individual. But the surprise was that no one in the family affected with the genetic dwarfism, even though we were at high risk, had bipolar. And this suggested to us that the DNA change causing this genetic dwarfism in the Amish was causing a change in chemical reactions and blocking bipolar. And in today's...
Let's just make sure, because I think that this is really cool. So let me make sure my listeners get this, Dr. Ginz. So there was an Amish family.
In a series of Amish families, there are 400 individuals.
Okay, so in that there was this risk for bipolar disorder, but if any of them also had this rare dwarfism, this genetic dwarfism, none of those patients or the groups in this study got bipolar disease. Is that correct?
So within these families, just to explain it again, I guess, there are two diseases that are present. One is this genetic dwarfism, and the other is bipolar disorder at the rate of 15 to 20 or so percent. So the individuals in this family are at very high risk for getting ill with bipolar. What we found was that any of the individuals with the genetic dwarfism, however, never had bipolar disorder, and that having the DNA change that caused that genetic dwarfism prevented the chemical reactions that were causing bipolar disorder.
Now, this in the dwarfism, the genetic mutation is a disruption of a certain pathway that's used during embryonic development called the sonic hedgehog pathway. So can you explain what that pathway is a little bit and how that might link to bipolar disorder?
So that pathway is important both in development and as we go through adolescence and even adulthood. And what the chemical reactions are responsible for are for telling nerve cells as they develop where they should go within the brain and what type of function they might perform and the types of connections that they make. So what we identified is that the genetic dwarfism actually blocks the chemical reactions that are altering the normal placement of these neurons and therefore preventing bipolar disorder.
So how does that translate then into clinical practice someday? I mean, what does this mean in terms of future treatments for bipolar disorder?
So what we are excited about is that if we can identify drugs that mimic the effect of what we're seeing as a protective effect blocking bipolar, we have a link into the development of new therapies and even diagnosis. What we would not want to do is give the current drugs that are available for other medical conditions that are caused by this pathway to children. Otherwise, you would expect to be causing dwarfism. But since bipolar disorder manifests largely in adolescence and later years up to 30 years of age, it's possible that drugs targeting this pathway then could be used and fine-tuned, even personalized to person's individual symptoms without causing the genetic dwarfism. The genetic dwarfism was really opening a window into the pathway of Sonic Hedgehog that were the key chemical reactions we believe that are responsible and involved for this form of bipolar disorder in the old order Amish.
So, you know, there's still, you know, Dr. Ginn, today this, a stigma associated with mental illness, you know, that, you know, if you're depressed or you're dealing with the bipolar, whatever it is, that it's more emotional, that there's, you know, you're not strong, you know, whatever it is. What is that going to do towards that kind of stigma of mental health? I mean, this is actually opening up, like you say, that window that there are these genetic components, right? This is going to be very helpful.
Right. I think as we and others identify more molecular causes, we bring our understanding of bipolar affective disorder and mental illness as we understand other medical conditions. And the findings that actual chemical reactions are involved, and it's not just something inherent to the individual and their behavior, gives us a new direction to explore, not only for treatment, but also for a more personalized diagnosis.
Yeah. So let's back up just a little bit. By the way, Dr. Ginz, it's great research. You know, I found this to be just fascinating. Is there a place that my listeners can go to, a website that you like, where they can learn more about bipolar disorder or even just about your research?
So there are two places that I would recommend on general for bipolar. One is the National Institute of Mental Health website down in Bethesda, Maryland at the intramural and extramural program. And the other is the National Association for on the National Alliance on Mental Illness website. The national organization is in Arlington, Virginia, but there are chapters all across the United States. As far as our paper, it's listed in Nature Molecular Psychiatry, and that was published online October 14th, 2014. And the information that you receive can be seen at my website at University of Massachusetts Medical School.
Yeah, so we only have about 60 seconds left, Dr. Ginn. So, you know, just lastly, so what would you like my listeners to take? What's the take-home message here about bipolar disorder with this new finding?
Well, so far the causes, as you indicated, have been elusive, whether it's molecular, genetic, or environmental. And our hope is that other researchers will focus on new findings like ours and actually work to explore the new avenues that might lead to new treatments and diagnoses.
We're going to have to leave it there, Dr. Ginz. Thank you so much for what you're doing and for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.